Good morning. Welcome to our service. Great to see you all here today. Let's begin by standing and singing hymn 805, If My People's Hearts Are Humbled. Hymn 805. We praise you for the wondrous story of Jesus, who came to this earth, became a man while still remaining God, lived here among us for all those 33 years of his life, and loved us, even seeing all the worst of us as he was living that life. And Father, we praise you for his power to heal, his power to proclaim your truth, and ultimately then to give his life as a sacrifice for our sins on the cross that day at Calvary. We praise you for his blood that was shed for us, and that through faith in him alone we are saved. We praise you for his resurrection, and for the fact that he is seated at your right hand and coming back soon. It could be today. And we thank you for all of these truths and for the beauty and glory of our Savior. We pray, Father, in this hour that as we worship you, that his name will be lifted high, that the life and the love of Jesus and the power of Jesus and the message of Jesus will be clear, and that we would encourage each other in our faith as we walk with him. Pray that you bless Pastor Bowyer as he brings the message. Fill him with your Spirit and use him to challenge us and to encourage us, whatever each of us needs here today. And we pray that from having been here, you will move and work in our hearts and bring the change that is needed. Draw us closer to you, closer to each other. We pray that this will just be a wonderful time together as we worship you. Thank you for drawing us all together today. And we pray for your Spirit's blessing on this hour. In Jesus' name, amen.
Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. We're looking at the parables of Jesus. Started that last week on the parable of the sower. You remember how that such a wonderful story that Jesus told, and it's good to see how the master taught using these stories. It said the parables are earthly story with a heavenly meaning, right? So that's what we're looking at, and this is the second one of them. In Matthew chapter 13 and starting at verse 24. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while you gather up the tares, you root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. All right, well, what is he talking about here, we wonder? Look over in verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house, and his disciples came to him, saying, Declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels and shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Let's have a word of prayer together. Most gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you and praise you for all your goodness to us. We just thank you for every blessing that we have. We've just had the Thanksgiving holiday, and we want to remember especially all the wonderful blessings that you shower upon us day by day. We thank you that you're with us, our Father, to help us and guide us in the way that we ought to go, that we might be pleasing in your sight. We just thank you, Lord, that we have the freedom in this country to worship you together, and we pray that each one of us will be strengthened and helped. We pray for our nation, our Father, that we might be a righteous nation. We just ask you, Lord, to undertake and have your own precious way in each one of our lives. Help us to do our part to be the salt of the earth and to do your holy will in all things. We thank you, Father, for your word to our hearts today, and pray that this story that Jesus told long ago might resonate in our hearts, that we might understand what it's saying, and that we might receive something from it that will be helpful to us. We just pray, our Father, for each and every one who is here today. You know our hearts. You know what we're thinking. You know our preoccupations and all of the other things that we have upon our minds. And we just pray that you will lead and guide and help. If there's anyone here today who's never put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray that this would be the day when they might do that. May your holy will be done, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again to Matthew chapter 13. As I was saying, a parable, of course, is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus used these continually. As he traveled about this, he would walk down the road, down by the Sea of Galilee or wherever he might be, and as he went along, he would be telling these stories and using them as illustrations to get the spiritual truth across to the people. So it's an illustration from daily life which can explain spiritual truths and not apparent at first. Sometimes you have to make an interpretation, but Jesus has already interpreted, or rather explained to his disciples, what the first parable was, the parable of the sower, where he spread the word to various people, and depending on their reaction to it, we had the four different kinds of soil, you remember? And only the good soil was the one that produced the fruit. Some more than others. It says that it could be, let's see, what was it? The bringeth forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So everyone doesn't do exactly the same, and it doesn't say that we should, right? But we find here, Jesus explained it. And the same thing with the second parable. Now, a little bit later, you have to figure it out for yourself, because he doesn't tell us what the others are. There's seven of them, I think, all together. And hopefully we'll get the right understanding of what the other parables are also. But here we find the parable of the tares of the field. And here the parable is expressed. First of all, notice in verse 24, he says, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man who sowed good seed in his field. So we're talking about the kingdom of heaven. And as we said last week, it seems like this covers the entire During this period of time in which we live, after the king was rejected and went back to heaven, he was crucified, buried, rose again, and then ascended back to heaven. And while he's away, this is what is going on. The preaching of the gospel, the word of God, sowing the seed. That was the main teaching of the first parable that we saw. And in this we find this kingdom of heaven that we're talking about here is what we call Christendom. It includes all kinds of anyone who names the name of Christ and thinks that he's a Christian, right? And some are truly saved, some are not. And that depends, you know, the Lord will decide that when he comes back. But the man who sows the good seed in the field, it says the field belongs to him, right? He sowed good seed in his field. So this is talking about the Lord himself. He is the one who is sowing the seed. He uses other people to do it today. You know, we proclaim the message of the gospel. But he is the one ultimately responsible for sowing the seed, for getting out the message. And so we are here as his servants to spread the good news of salvation and of the kingdom of God that will come one day. You know, the king was rejected when he came. It says he came unto his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them he gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. So that's where we're here this morning, as believers in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, following his will and his purpose. But notice what happens here in this parable. It says in verse 25, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went their way. Okay? So we find here it was at night, time of darkness. You know, the scripture tells us that many times that it's in the darkness when people do their evil deeds, right? And we live in the darkness of this age where many sinful acts are done at night. It says those who get drunk usually do it at night, right? And those that do other things that are contrary to God's will, they don't want to be seen doing this. It's something that they are trying to hide. And here we find these men come in while it's night and sow tares among the wheat. Tares were, what would you say, fake wheat, I guess. It doesn't really produce grain. It contaminates what's already there, this field of grain that's coming forth. Also now is going to be contaminated by these weeds, if you will, tares. Someone said it was darnel, if you know what that means. I'm not sure. But anyway, it's some kind of weed that you really don't want in your field, right? Someone's bringing this in and causing these problems. But when the blade, it says, was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So at first, no one knew anything about this. It happened when no one was looking, and everything seemed to be normal until it started to grow. And here comes the grain, the wheat, or whatever kind of grain it was. It's growing like it's supposed to, but then also there's these other weeds all in the field. And it makes it hard to harvest the crop in the right way because all these other things are contaminated. And I'm told, I was reading something about this, they said that this actually does happen sometimes. You know, someone has a grievance against the farmer and he'll go out and sow his seed, and sow these tares in among the wheat. So it could be a true story, actually. And so one way to destroy an enemy's crop was to oversow the field with these weeds. And this was against the law. Even the Roman law back in that day, if they were guilty, they would be caught and punished for doing this. Because it was, it was a crime against these people. So no one knew what had happened until the wheat started to mature. And then there were all these other weeds and tares coming up along with the wheat. It was a little different color, so they could tell that it was something different. So the workman, notice what he says here. So in verse 27, the servants of the householder came and said to him, "Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field?" What's going on here? He said. Why do we have all these weeds? From whence came the tares? He said to them, "An enemy hath done this." An enemy. Okay? And the servant said unto him, "All right, what do you want us to do with it?" 2 minute picture. "Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? Should we go and remove the tares from the field? They're not worth anything. This is useless. Why should we leave them there?" But he said, "No, lest you also tear up the wheat with them." You see? Don't disturb them, in other words. Here's the field growing. All right? Leave them like it is. And let both grow together until the harvest. So this is what's happening today. We have the church scattered about here, there, and yonder. And what does it mean? We let them grow together until the harvest. And then he says, "I will say to the reapers, gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." So there's going to be a day of separation, right? When all this happens. And here, what does all this mean? Verse 36, we see the explanation. And notice the audience here. Verse 36, Jesus sent the multitude away. All these other people that were there expecting to get something to eat or whatever, when Jesus would multiply the food or he would do some miracle, they wanted to be there and see all this and enjoy the teaching. But here, he sent the multitude away and he explained to his disciples. These are the ones closest to him, the ones who followed him, and who desired to serve him. He gave special instructions to them, his 12 disciples and perhaps a few others that might have been especially interested. But he sent most of them away. And his disciples came and they asked him, "Declare to us the parable of the tares of the field." What does it mean? Here was an interesting subject that they had, and they wanted to know. It's like people today, you have a special interest in learning something, whatever it might be. And here, Jesus explained this story, he gave it forth, they enjoyed it, but they didn't understand it. What's he saying? So they asked him, and they said, "Declare what the parable means." So he said, okay, he's going to explain it to them. Symbols. The symbols that are identified here. He says, first of all, "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." Now we know from reading the rest of the New Testament, Jesus referred to himself more than any other time as the Son of Man. He came as a human being, right? He was born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, but he was a human being, just like us, except he never sinned, right? He took upon himself a human form, and he came to be the Son of Man. And he identified himself like that. It speaks of that over in the book of Daniel, the Son of Man. The title here in, let's look at Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, I have a reference here about the Son of Man. Chapter 7, verse 13. Daniel is having a vision, and he said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, which we believe is talking about God the Father. And they brought him near before him, and there was given unto him dominions and glory and a kingdom that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So this is a wonderful prophecy here that Daniel is bringing forth about the King, the Lord Jesus himself, who came, and the Father gave him this kingdom, and it will come to pass. As we saw already, when he came the first time, he was rejected and turned away. But he will come again, and he will rule and reign as King. His kingdom is forever, it says. I have another reference here to Revelation chapter 5, in verse 6. I wanted to read this to you. It's a beautiful passage. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. John here is speaking. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. Of course, this is a figurative illustration he's giving here. It's speaking about the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the Lord Jesus himself. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne, the right hand of God. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood, out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. It's very clear who he's speaking about, isn't it? The Lord Jesus. And has made us unto our God, only one, kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. There were a lot of them, right? All right. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb, forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. Isn't that wonderful? Think of that. Glory and honor and praise be to the Lamb forever and evermore. So here, I said all that to speak about the Son of Man, of what he's going to do in the days that lie ahead. But right now, during this age in which we live, we find that he's sowing the seed of the Word of God, and producing believers. Notice it says the field is the world. Verse 38, this is his, he says the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. So, we find here what's happening. The good seed, he says, are the children of the kingdom. In the first parable, it's used that the word of God itself was the seed. Here it speaks about the believers as being the seed, because they are produced through the preaching of the gospel of Christ, the children of the kingdom. And so there now we find that there are those who are true believers and those who are not. The tares have been placed there by the enemy. Well, who's the enemy? Notice verse 39. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. And he's a real person, isn't he? The devil, Satan himself, who was an angel that God created, and then fell because of his pride, and now he's leading a rebellion against all that God wants to do and all that Jesus is planning to do. And we see that right now he is sowing the seed, but it's evil seed that he's sowing. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. So at the end it says he's going to bring in the harvest, and he's going to, the angels are coming to do that. Satan is seeking to destroy the work of Christ. That's his main occupation. He's the great deceiver, the imitator, the one who, you know, he's doing what Jesus has already done, only his is evil intention. He wants to deceive us. He wants to turn us away from the truth and from God's kingdom in this particular case. And here we find that he is the enemy, Satan. And we need to be aware of him and beware. You know what I mean? That we might stand firm upon the truth of the Word of God. And here he says, verse 40, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. Now that word, when it says the end of the world, the word here for world is actually the end of the age, this period in which all this is happening. That's what's going to, the angels are going to come and finish bringing in the harvest, and those who are true believers will be gathered in to the place where they will be blessed forever. And the tares would be those who are not true believers, and they would be gathered in and judged and burned, it says here, is the picture that we have. And we were looking in Sunday school this morning over in the book of Revelation there about what's going to happen later on, right? The end of this age, when Christ comes back again, and when we are gathered together with him. These tares said look very much like the wheat. but they do not produce any fruit. They do not produce any grain. Wherever God's children are found, Satan places his children. And you remember Jesus told the Pharisees, he says, you are of your father the devil, and his will you'll do, right? And so here we find that this is the reason that people don't always agree, I guess, right? We take the word of God and we take it literally. We believe it. And we know that there's, as I said, some pictures there for us to take and interpret and that kind of thing. But it is the truth. This is the truth. And anything other than this is deception. And Satan uses all kinds of things to deceive us. And then he says again, verse 41, the Son of Man shall send forth his angels. See, Jesus is the one that's going to be in command. He's going to send forth his angels. And they'll gather out of the kingdom all things that offend and them which do iniquity. So those who are sinful, those who do not truly know him, the Savior, the Redeemer, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire, there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. That'll be a terrible time, won't it? A time of judgment and destruction. And the righteous, says, shall shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who has ears to hear, let him hear. So once again, the harvest is the end of the age. Right now, this period in which we're living is not a period of judgment. There may be some along the way somewhere. We've seen a lot of things happening. But the judgment itself is coming at the end of this period, this time. And that will come when Jesus returns and sends his angels to bring in the harvest and to punish those who are not saved. It'll be a great sorrow and agony for them, as he says here. Then the righteous will shine. The righteous will shine. And Daniel, once again, let's look at that. Daniel 12 and verse 3. He's speaking about the resurrection here. Let's read verse 2. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars, forever and ever. So this is a wonderful thing to think about. They that turn many to righteousness as the stars, forever and ever. And he says then, who has ears to hear, let him hear. Do you hear what he's saying? Do you hear the parable today? You know, Christ has placed his children in the world that they might mature and be strengthened by the trouble that they face. You know, they call it sometimes what? A veil of tears. People go through all kinds of things, even believers. We're tested and tried sometimes. Other times, thank God, we also have blessings, don't we? It's wonderful to be able to give thanks and praise to him. But there are many things that you have to go through and to be strengthened and helped. I have here in James chapter 1, he speaks of this, about the trials that we go through in verse 2. James 1, verse 2. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, testings, knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. not lacking anything. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So it's a matter, when we have testings and trials, we need to look to the Lord in faith, believing, and trust him. He says, don't doubt. Don't allow fear to come into your life, but trust the Lord in these times of testing and heartache, and let him see you through. And so we find here, he wants us as believers to sow the seed. He uses us to proclaim to others the truth, and that we might persuade those who are not yet Christians to trust Christ, to be saved. And Jesus has placed his people in the world to influence others for him. You know, he says, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And we are not to isolate ourselves and from other people, but we are to live righteously before them. Satan has placed his children in the world to imitate Christians, to cause confusion, to bring men to destruction. But in the end, the parable ends, Jesus is the winner, right? He is the king. He will accomplish his will and purpose. And we just need to be faithful to him. So I trust that each one of us will be encouraged to continue serving the Lord. And if you've never put your faith and trust in him, this is the time to do it. He's there waiting and watching. We're sowing the seed, seeking to help you to understand that there is salvation for those who will believe, and only destruction for those who do not. That's a sad thing to think about. But we need to put our faith and trust in Christ. I hope each and every one of us have already done that or will do that today. Father, we just thank you for your precious word to our hearts and these stories that Jesus told so long ago that still speak to our hearts today. May we listen carefully and may we apply the truths to our hearts. We pray for each and every one here this morning. You will minister to them, speak to them, and show them what they should do regarding this message. May your holy will be done, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.